Want to make sure you're getting the most out of Voice 123? Let's start here.
You're a voice actor. You're an entrepreneur. You're a VOpreneur. Welcome to the Everyday VOpreneur Podcast, your guide through the business of voiceover.
One of the best marketing tools that you have as a voice actor is testimonials from your clients. This is social proof from somebody else that says you can do the thing that you say that you can do. I've put together a free resource that I'd love for you to download that is going to help you with your testimonial marketing. It's going to give you tips for how to find them and how to use them. And you can get it for free at VOpreneur.com/testimonials. VOpreneur.com/testimonials.
The VOpreneur Podcast. Hey, it doesn't suck.
Not as funny as Conan. Not as cute as Seth Meyers. Not as smart as Colbert. But he's one of us, and that counts for something. Here's Mark Scott, the original everyday VOpreneur.
If you want to be successful at something, you find someone who does that thing successfully, and you model them. It's how you accelerate the learning curve. If you're a voice actor trying to find success on Voice 123, my guests today have built the roadmap you're going to want to model. They've got a deep understanding of the platform, and most importantly, the algorithm. Ah, the dreaded Voice 123 algorithm. Welcome back to the show, Catherine Toll, Natasha Marchewska, the V123 Pros.
Hi.
That's us.
So we did an episode in September of 2021. We were talking about that. And so now we get to talk about all of the things that have changed on the platform. But there's one pressing question that I have to ask before we get there. Natasha, I know you were at VO Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Did you sit in on the online casting panel?
Oh, I did. I was in the second row. I was right on the edge near
you. I would love to hear your thoughts, if you have any. Did you learn anything? Did you find anything insightful? Were you shooting tiny laser darts out of your eyes at certain statements?
I was not shooting tiny laser darts out of my eyes. I have a very strong opinion, Mark, that I would love to share at the top of this show. Thank you for opening the door. I think there's a fundamental issue with communication, I believe, and debate me if I'm wrong, that the voiceover community believes that we are owed something by these online casting platforms. And the online casting platforms, I believe, owe us nothing. They are technology companies doing their thing. In this essence, the VO community doesn't understand their business, the online casting business. Ironically, these tech companies don't understand voiceover. They've been around for 20 years and they don't understand our business. So here are these two types of business owners, and they don't understand each other's essential, you know, the foundation of their businesses. And so it's super frustrating, and tempers flared, and got really emotional, Mark. But I just sit back and think there's this fundamental thing where it's too bad those platforms don't know voiceover. They don't understand what we do.
I definitely think that you've got a point there. I can say, so from my personal experience, and granted, I don't use the online casting sites anymore for various and assorted reasons, but my issue has always been that we are the customer, but we don't get treated like the customer.
Mm-hmm. But so are we the customer?
We're the ones paying.
We are the ones.
So if somebody buys your course, if somebody comes and buys the V123 course, and then they come to you with an issue with the course, or, you know, trouble getting access to the course, or they don't feel like it taught what they were supposed to, that it was supposed to teach them, and you say, sorry about your luck, if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Right.
How many customers are you going to have? Because they're your paying customer.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And I'm not saying that we're not the customer for Voice 123, but I don't think they treat us like the customer.
No. Not Voice 123. Whatever. That could be debated too. But I think that's across the board, I think that's always been the issue, is we are the ones that are paying for access to all of these platforms. True. And some of them, it feels like they don't listen to us. Yeah. Like, I think they should, yeah, because if I'm giving you $500 a year, $1,000 a year, $2,000 a year, I feel like I should have at least a seat at the table.
Some value.
Right?
Yeah,
I'm not saying that we dictate but we should at least have a seat at the table.
Well, and that's how they would understand our business. If they listened to our feedback, they would understand our business more fully. How is that
so
bad?
What do you think? I don't know if you were there. I think maybe it was 2019. When was 2019 Rolf's first appearance at
the Atlantic? I didn't see it. I do know that I did not see that.
His first, and I talked to Rolf after this last VO Atlanta. And we kind of joked about how the tables have turned, right? Because when Voice 123, several years ago, when Rolf first took over, they were not a beloved member of the voiceover community. Like the platform was not a beloved member of the voiceover community. And poor Rolf shows up.
Yeah.
Thrown to the wolves, right? Like it wasn't his fault. Mm-hmm. He hadn't been responsible for any of this stuff, but he was the guy that was put at the helm to captain the ship. And he sat up there and he took it like a man, you know, the community unloaded. But 5 years later, he's sitting on the online casting panel here at VO Atlanta 2024, looking like the hero because he listened, right? Now, has Voice 123 given us everything that we want? No, but have they listened to the community and adapted along the way and allowed us to have some feedback? Yes. And so I think that was what made the difference, which goes to your point of, you know, listen and understand our business and understand what we're coming from. And certainly some sites seem to have done a little bit better job of that than others. Mm. So at least that's what I think anyway. Mm.
I wonder my opinion of they don't owe us anything. Maybe I feel like we don't pay enough for them to owe us, but you're right. I mean, our membership dues build their business. So,
well, if you take away the voice actors, they don't. What do they got?
Yeah, but
they don't have an income stream because the end user is not paying anything, right? Yeah. So, if you take away the voice actors, there's no income stream. So, again, I don't think that we should run the show. I just certainly appreciate when we're given a seat at the table. I think Armin is a great example of that. Armin sits down and listens to what the community has to say. That's why the guy wins the online casting site of the year award or whatever at the One Voice. They might as well just name it the Bidalgo Award because he wins it every year. But it's because of how much he's willing to sit down and listen to what we have to say. But okay, so based on what you heard, and I know you're the V123 pros, but you do online casting and you know, I respect what your thoughts are on this. Do you feel more optimistic or less optimistic about some of the things that were said? And that could be for specifically to voices.com or, you know, across the board for what you heard in that session.
I feel very optimistic for two reasons. Voices.com came out strong and tried to be as truthful and altruistic as he could be. Whether or not that's going to make changes, we'll see. You know, you look and there's still really low paying jobs on voices.com. They're everywhere, but didn't they say they're using GVA rates? So I'm still optimistic. Yes. He was earnest. I'm also optimistic because Karin Guilfoyre, as far as I'm concerned, stole the show. She says all the right things to support us, but also knowing her audience is also the online casting platforms that have her ear. Or no, she has their ear. And she says she's just marvelous and so intelligent. And I'm grateful she's represented us with Nava and beyond.
Nava has really become the hero for the industry that we maybe didn't know we needed. But but that's really the role that they've, like, somebody by Karin and Tim, like Iron Man suits or something, like they're like
they are superheroes. Right? Yeah.
They literally, that's what they feel like. Yeah. So
then we have sort of a guide for which online casting platforms are like the good guys because they've signed on with Nava and what they're doing, and you know, with AI and everything. I thought it was really encouraging that Voice 123 was one of the first to be like, yes, okay, we're a part of this thing. Yeah. We want to do this right. How do we make this okay? And there was a lot of line of communication back and forth between Nava and Voice 123.
And I think that's what we're looking for more than anything, right? Is just let's have some open dialogue.
Yes.
Do voice actors need to do a better job of understanding the casting site's position? Yes. Do voice actors need to do a better job of understanding the client position? Yes.
Yeah.
But it works all the way around too, right? Mm-hmm. You've got three different entities and everybody wants to have it their way. And somewhere in the midst of all of that is the balance where all parties come out happy and satisfied. And, you know, like I said, it's at this point, some seem to be doing a better job of that than others, but it's certainly nice to see some of them willing to sit down and have the conversation. Online casting sites like Voice123 can be a really great source of auditions and opportunity for your voiceover business. But online casting sites shouldn't be the only place where you're finding and creating opportunities for your business. You also need to know how to market, and that's where VoiceOver Marketing Playbook comes in. A step-by-step, easy-to-follow video course that is going to teach you how to find your own leads, build your own client base, and become the consistently working voice actor that you want to be. There's no fluff or rah-rah built into Playbook. It is all actionable, practical strategies, tactics, and advice. Playbook is back April 2nd through the 11th, 2024, and you'll be able to get the details and sign up for the course at voiceovermarketingplaybook.com. That's voiceovermarketingplaybook.com.
Now, back to our show.
So, all right, let's get into Voice123. I know this is your area of expertise, although we could certainly talk about some of this other stuff probably for an entire episode, but I reached out to my network and said, I'm having the V123 pros on the show. What do you want to talk about? What should I ask them about? What are the questions that are most pressing for you? So there was one that came up, which I'm sure you're going to relate to, but I'm consistently having conversations with voice actors who are seeing their rankings get into the basement. Mm-hmm. So the lower percentile rankings. So then as a result of that, they're seeing fewer auditions mm-hmm. or the, a lot of people complain about auditions. Oh, they're all coming at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has been suggested to them is that they upgrade to a higher tier membership. Mm-hmm. But is that actually how it works? Because I didn't think that was how it works. But some of them are saying that that's actually what the platform is trying to sell them as well. And I didn't think that you could just throw more money at it.
It's not ideal to do that as your first step because it's a multi-component algorithm. So yes, your membership tier does have something to do with when you get those auditions, maybe how full they're going to be as a result of that, but it's not going to change your percentage at all. Mm-mm. So even if you are at the bottom 20% of the 395 tier and you go up to like the 888 tier, for example, like maybe you jump two tiers, you're going to get things sooner, but you're going to still get them at the very, very end of that tier. And sometimes those tiers overlap. So you might not actually be getting them any sooner. Your percentile has so much more to do with when you get things than your actual numbers. And it makes sense from a business perspective that the platform is encouraging you to go up in a membership tier because then get more money, right? Like this is a business. Again, this is a business. But it's a lot better for you to take your time, go slowly with what you audition for. Maybe you have to do some nights and weekends just for a little while to get that percentile up. Maybe you're going to audition for some stuff that you don't super feel passionate about money-wise, but you're right for in that role. And then you can crawl. It's a little bit of a crawling situation, but I did it. I know so many people mm-hmm. that have gone from the bottom 10% to, 30, 40, top 30, 40, sorry.
So do likes factor in more so than budget? So what I'm saying, you mentioned maybe you've got to go after some stuff that's a little bit lower budget than what you would normally like. The concern then with some people is if I'm consistently auditioning at these lower budgets, that I'm just going to end up seeing more of these lower budgets. Mm-mm. But your point is you need to get likes mm-hmm. to get moving up. So that's really at the end of the day, that's the priority, isn't it? It's the likes.
100%.
So how many likes does it take to move the needle? Because I think this is another common misconception. And I know there's not an exact science to it, but I think people will be surprised by the number or the approximate.
Yeah. For a while, I was sitting at like 7 likes for one of the years that I wasn't really doing very well. Well, it wasn't that I wasn't doing well, but I wasn't actively participating very much.
Right.
I think I had 7 likes out of like 24 auditions or maybe 30 auditions or something like that. So the number that you need is not necessarily what you're focusing on. It's the ratio of how many are liked versus how many you've done. So if you get all gung ho and you're doing 30 a day, but you're only getting, maybe one or two of them liked because those are the ones that were best for you, your ratio is now super shot. Compared to if you had just done those one or two and gotten those liked, or maybe 3 or 4, but you get one or two of those, that's 50% of them getting liked. That's a huge boost to your percentile versus, I'm just going to go for everything. We're going to try it. We're going to, you know, spaghetti at the wall, see what happens. Yep. Let's get, you know, this numbers game. It's not a numbers game in that
way. Something that we haven't broadcast, and so I'm learning from other people that this is a misconception. Voice 123 is not for beginners. Because if you can't get one thumb up out of five auditions you submit, you're in trouble. So you have to be a talented, preferably working professional, but at least you need to be able to book. If you're not bookable, and then you don't get thumbs up, and then you tank. So we sort of beg of beginners, and to shout this from the rooftops for all the coaches, because coaches say, oh, just go to Voice 123 and practice. And you know how I know how you feel about practicing. You don't practice on these platforms.
No, don't practice on somebody else's job.
Right? Yeah. Voices.com is more forgiving in that you don't get penalized for not getting a thumbs up or something. But Voice 123 is not for practicing, and it's not for beginners. You have to be bookable, and then you'll start getting the thumbs up, and then you can play the game.
Does that also speak to, I get the beginner side of things, but does that also speak to the level of competition that's on the platform as well? You're just competing with a higher caliber, and that's why it might be a little bit harder to get some of those likes too, because you're competing with the best of the best type deal.
Yes, and COVID. So now we have this influx of people who are not only think they can do voiceover, but they can do voiceover because actors, as I call them, have microphones.
Yep.
Actors have set themselves up. So we have this tsunami of talented people and tsunami of maybe not so talented people, but anyway, a lot more competition than we had pre-2020. And this is the crux of why people are not doing well, because they really have to be on top of their game with Voice 123. They really need to do our course. There's just, after we've created it quite some time ago, and we can see you need to really understand what you're doing to do well. Do the course and then talk to us about, you know, what your problems are with Voice 123.
And you also need to be very aware of yourself and what you are best at and what you are bookable in terms of genre and voice style and age range. All those things are so important to know yourself, because again, you really don't want to be auditioning for stuff that you aren't sure you're going to book. Voices.com and other platforms, totally fine to kind of experiment and be like, okay, well, I'm starting to get a little bit older. You know, okay, so they're asking for a senior. Usually I do female adult. Like, I'll maybe try for that and see what they're looking for.
Right.
But on Voice 123, you really need to know, like, what is your lane? Stay in it. And then once you're at like top 20%, top 10%, maybe get it a little bit more flexible. You can audition for more things and play around more, because it's a lot easier to go down one tier and then maybe crawl back up like, oh, okay, I experimented a little bit too much. But if you're down in the lower tiers, you really need to focus on what you're going to be booking, or at least what you're going to get a like on.
So that's got me thinking then, you talked about the ratio. So one of the things that I've always thought on Voice 123 is, you know, okay, if 30 auditions come in, you got to be incredibly selective about the 30 auditions that day that you submit, because you're trying to get likes. But it's not specifically like you shouldn't be submitting more than 4 or 5 auditions a day. I mean, you can submit 10 if you can get the right ratio of auditions to likes then. So it's important to understand that. That's a subtle distinction, but it's important to understand that as well.
Yes. If you can nail the audition, do it. If you can nail 10 of them because they're exact specs and you know it's you, do 10. If there's one, do one. And that's definitely part of my success. I'm very slow and steady wins the race. And I know I said that in the last one, but I don't go gangbusters on it, because you need to be hyper-specific.
It's important to understand that, though, because I think there are people that assume that I'll just submit for less, but it's not specifically the number of auditions that you submit. If you get 30 auditions in a day and you can get 20 likes on 30 auditions, then go ahead and submit 20 auditions submit 30 auditions and get 20 likes or whatever. So it's really understanding that ratio. So then one of the things that Tom Deere and I talked about was analyzing the jobs that you're getting the likes for. Mm-hmm. So really, part of this is understanding the algorithm, but part of it is also understanding you and what your sweet spot is,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
It's going through those auditions that you've got likes on and looking for the common themes. I consistently get a like for this type of direction or this type of read or this genre or whatever, because then you can get more strategic in what you're submitting for, which in theory, you know, provided clients do what they're supposed to do and hit the button, right? Then you can get yourself back up there. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's the third component. There's the algorithms we've talked about. There's knowing yourself, which we've talked about. There's another whole segment in our course about knowing the client and looking at the client and who they are. Do they listen to most of their auditions? Is this their first project on the platform? Is this their 100th platform? And they probably know the whole deal. Right. You know, are they being specific about what they're looking for? Are they putting in, you know, to be determined? They don't know, you know, how long is this piece going to be? If you don't know that, I'm not sure I want to be auditioning for this, depending on what it is. So really analyzing the proposal and seeing what you want to audition for. What is worth your time?
I did a coaching session with somebody earlier this week, and you know, this was one of the pieces of advice that I had given her a couple of weeks ago in a session. So we did a session this week and I talked about, you know, what did you find as you went through and you looked for all of those commonalities? And there were certain words that stuck out. You know, upbeat was one that she said consistently. I'm like, that's really valuable. That's really insightful. Yeah. I said, and not just for Voice 123, but in how you market yourself in general. But the one thing that she discovered, which is something a lot of people might not be looking for, was she noticed on jobs, she was never getting any kind of response whatsoever on jobs where they didn't know what they wanted as far as male or female. Uh-huh. And so she's like, every time I submitted for one of those jobs, I never got anywhere. So I'm only going to submit going forward for auditions that specifically focus on female. And I was like, that's a really smart insight to pick up. Like you can find, right? There's clues in the data if you go looking for it.
Exactly.
Okay. I know this question is completely subjective, but I'm curious what you guys think about it.
Good cue up.
There's a lot of different approaches to online casting. Bidalgo lets you just submit auditions. You know, voices.com lets you submit auditions, but then they've got their professional services. Voice123 has the algorithm. You got to try to understand the algorithm. So I'm curious, with all these different approaches that are out there, do you have a preference one way or another? Are you using different sites and you find this one works better for me or this one doesn't work better for me, or I like this approach, or now that I understand the algorithm, I get it? I'm just curious your personal experiences.
Well, my personal favorite has always been Voice123, and it continues to be. And I can't say, just like they have no loyalty to me, I don't exactly have loyalty to them. It's just how things run. I have been testing out voices.com. And also VO Planet again. And simply not a fan for the basic reason that people move so fast on these platforms. You know, if I don't want to move that fast. I don't want to push out auditions so quickly that then it's not the best audition. Time is a factor in terms of I actually work. So I'm not on it all the time. And then when you get to them, or you receive them, you want to give the best you can give. And so I do a whole listening process, make sure I'm submitting something great. That works for me on Voice123, that more meticulous way of submitting things I'm proud of. Call me old fashioned, call me what you will, but that rushing doesn't work for me. Bidalgo, bless them. It's just such huge numbers that I have yet to figure out my sweet spot for Bidalgo, and otherwise, for the rest, I don't pay attention to other online casting, but I'm still trying to crack VO Planet and voices.com. And sure, 15, 17 years ago, I did fine on voices.com, but it's been a long time and boy, do they move fast. Not interested. So, Catherine, do you have an opinion?
Well, for me, I mean, I know the most about Voice123, so that's where I feel the most comfortable and have done well. So I will hopefully continue to do well. The other sites that I really like are the ones where you can put up your samples, your demos, and then have clients come to you. Hmm. So things like Voquent. There's some other ones that I'm like testing out. But, I like having spent a lot of time and money on my demos and my samples, and I'm proud of them. And I think that they book really well for me. And so the more places I can put those out there where people will listen to them, the better it is for me, because I'm not needing to audition. And sure, because I have limited sort of time and energy for auditions, I really mostly just stick to Voice 123.
I'm totally on board with the whole rat race of it. Right. That was honestly, that was one of the reasons why I walked away from online casting. It was a mental health decision for me more than anything. Because I'm like, literally, you know, I'm standing at the grocery store watching these auditions coming in and knowing that by the time I get home from buying my milk, I've missed out on 20 auditions, and it makes me never want to leave the house again. I'm like, this is not healthy. Right? This is not a healthy way to live or operate your business. And so I totally get that side of things. Do you think as Voice 123 continues to tweak the algorithm, thinking back to SmartCast, for example, which was in the very, very beginning, has it gotten better? Do you think it's gotten better?
No, I don't. I think it's oranges and apples. I don't think it's gotten better. I think I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop with any online company, right? So it is what it is today, and we could wake up tomorrow and be something different. I'm all about adapting to technology. You have to. So I don't put any trust in that it's going to be like this tomorrow. But it stayed steady. So there have been a lot of changes, which we haven't talked about yet, Mark, in terms of SEO and whatnot. And so they, what are you calling it, Catherine? Version 3 point something, or are you calling it version?
This is version 3.
So.
Right? Or is, no, sorry. I was calling it version 4. My bad.
Version
what,
4.
What year is it?
So they came out a good 6 months ago now with a new way of entering keywords. So for those of us, okay, Catherine and I, who have spent a lot of time on keywording, all our samples and everyone else's, they changed the game on us. So they're using some keyword as keywords as filters. And so if you've done nothing in years for your Voice 123 dashboard, you're in luck. Yes, you're in luck, Mark, because it's you have not wasted any time. But moving forward, it does take some time. You want to make sure, as everyone says, to fill out your samples and your profile, your the whole dashboard fully, to the fullest extent, so you can be found. Because Voice 123 is not just about auditioning. It's about being found. And if you're not using keywords, you are not being found and you're leaving money on the table.
I think that's one of the things people don't think about is this is, it's a casting site, but it's also a search engine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a huge search engine.
So going back to the earlier example that I was talking about, you know, the student that figured out, you know, upbeat, that was one of the words that came up consistently. Is this one of those things where she would make sure that the word upbeat was attached to some of her samples? Because if that was a, you know, a direction that a client was specifically searching for, she comes up. Like, is that what you're talking about as far as labeling?
Yeah. Yes. Upbeat is one of the voice styles that they have selected now. There's just about 20 voice styles that are like the most common words that we use. So conversational, upbeat, friendly, like explainer is one of them for some reason. Those are now filters. So a client can go in to search and they can select, okay, I want to only listen to the upbeat samples. And then maybe they want to further filter down from there. Like I want upbeat, female, young adult, commercial, and then all of that's going to get displayed. And then you can search for words.
So if you're not using those filters, you're not coming up. So the people that have been on top of that game are coming up.
But how effective do you think, so conversational, for example, literally the most overused word in voiceover, possibly only next to non-announcer, but everybody's asking for conversational. So my guess is that every voice actor is going in and labeling every stinking thing that they do as conversational, whether it is or it isn't, because again, you know, hello, subjective. Ask 100 people what conversational means, get 100 different definitions of it. So how effective do you think some of that stuff is then if everybody's using the same, you know, would you say 20 filters or whatever? Does it actually get to a point where it filters anybody down?
Well, yes, because if you use the English, USA and Canada, and then female adult, and then maybe you use accent of a US general American or Midwestern, and then you use the purpose of recording filter, which is advertisement, it will bring you down to a collective, you know, it's the samples that need to be labeled appropriately. So if you're going to label everything conversational, you're really gumming up the works. You need to label the samples specifically. So like Voquent is a wonderful example. There might be dozens or hundreds of people with the same, they have conversational, but there's additional words.
There's so many different filters.
Yeah, combinations.
And you can only select two voice styles for each sample. So if you're putting conversational in every single one of them, you're really lowering your chance of being found for any of those other 20 words.
Missing out on
all
the rest.
You don't necessarily know what people are going to look for. And you really only want to use that best word, like upbeat, on your most upbeat sample within a genre.
Within a genre.
Because most likely people are going to filter down language, voice style, purpose of recording, and age and gender. Like those are the ones you really want to focus on. And so
These changes that you're talking about now, when this is version 4, you said when did that start?
End of last year.
For the talent, we started being able to work on it, I think, March of last year, and then it fully got released to clients October of last year.
So if somebody hasn't looked at their profile or tweaked their profile since last fall, really, it's time to go and reevaluate everything and make sure that everything conforms to the new system. It makes me think about Google, right? Just when somebody figures out how to game Google search, Google goes in and completely changes all of the rules because they don't want people to really game it. They want to, you know, so they change the rules to try to level the platform or whatever. It feels like there's maybe an element of that going on here. Sometimes these improvements, maybe they're about improvements, but maybe they're about actually improving. Maybe they're about, you know, leveling out the playing field again.
Well, in fairness to Voice 123, they're trying to make it easier for the voice seeker, adding these filters. Now it's...
And that makes sense.
April? It's March. And so, we don't know how effective these are. We don't know if the clients are using them. So we're still presumably in a testing phase for the next year plus to see, you know, is this effective?
So I'm assuming this is more tied to direct invites. Is that where you would really notice if this was working?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you start to see some more direct invitations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more great direct point. Bookings, more messages going into your inbox. That's how you would know people are finding you.
Great point.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a preset number of filters that you can use. You mentioned, you know, you can choose conversational, upbeat, whatever. There's like 20. Is there anywhere in the profile now where you can do some more, type some of your own key words or key phrases?
Absolutely. So they have the opportunity to put two voice styles. Then you have the opportunity to add three keywords.
Search keywords,
That are not a voice style. So you can't use those 23 or however many there are voice styles. You have to use something different. You can also use keywords in your sample title. And they also said they were going to take away additional sample details, and they've changed their mind. So we can use additional sample details as well. So you can pimp out each sample like crazy. And we recommend you do using all relevant words to be found.
So that's where when somebody's coming in and they're, you know, clients coming in and they're searching and they use, you know, the Sam Elliott reference or whatever. You put Sam Elliott in one of your samples where you've got that Sam Elliott style thing, and then that's where it benefits you in search, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just looked. There's 23 voice styles and 26 purposes of recording now, because they also added a ton more purposes of recording to get much more granular about the genres that we work in.
So I feel like part of this is paying attention to the trends. I'm thinking specifically about Super Bowl. What was that one commercial? I can't even remember it now because we don't get the good commercials in Canada. What's you guys know what I'm talking about? That one commercial that everybody was talking about that was that disconnected conversational reader, whatever they were calling it. What was the brand? I can't even remember
You're
what the name of the brand was.
Wait, don't watch.
What is a sports ball?
But I have been going to iSpot TV and watching all the Super Bowl commercials, but I can't remember because there were actually so many.
I'm totally brain farting on it. But anyway, my point is that was like the commercial that everybody was talking about. Mm-hmm. And one thing we've seen in the past is, you know, Apple comes out with a new commercial and everybody loves it. And then they'll put reference in the casting directions of, you know, the Apple spot.
Yeah.
So if you've got a sample that is reflective of whatever that Super Bowl commercial, it's going to drive me nuts that I can't remember the name of it now. But if you've got a sample that would be relevant to that.
Yes.
Update your keyword to reflect that because that's potentially something that everybody's going to be searching for.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on the other hand, don't use words that they're not going to search for. What a waste of real estate. Really put some thought
and time.
And time. I can't tell you how many times we find words that, you know, people aren't going to search for those. So just use your intuition and intelligence when sifting through things. It's hard when it's subjective. You know, it's when you're really close to it and you're using words and you think, well, this works. This is really boring and tedious. I'm just going to throw this in. Go through and clean up your site so it's super specific and to that sample.
And we have a whole keywording module in the course that really talks about how to come up with those keywords, mm-hmm. what are things that people are actually going to search for and not, you know, how to brainstorm things, what to do if you can't brainstorm, because it's hard. It's really hard. But doing it, you know, with another VO friend is one way to really help get the creative juices flowing.
What words do you think of when you listen to this sample of my voice God. And then see what it...
Yeah. I'm against it. Yeah.
That's always the hardest part, right? I think back to the first time that I read Celia Siegel's book, the voiceover achiever book, and you know, some of the brainstorming exercises that she has to go through, and it kind of like, come up with 100 words for this. And I'm like, I got 3 and that's it. I'm done. I got nothing else. Like,
that was such a hard exercise.
So labeling, I guess that's one of the things where it'd be really good maybe to work, you know, find a group of 4 or 5 other voiceover colleagues and get each other to listen to each other's demos mm-hmm. and, you know, see what each other has to say about it. But okay, here was another question that came in from several people wanted to know the answer to this. With regards to samples, is there a recommended number and is there an average number? Can you have too many? Or is there a limit to how many you can have?
I would say for samples, since you can have 2 purposes of recording on each sample and you can have 2 voice styles on each sample, if you do a matrix and you like multiply those together and you get a little like spreadsheet or some sort of grid and think, okay, what is my best, you know, upbeat of advertisement? What's my best upbeat of, you know, explainer? What's my best upbeat that's political? And kind of think of it that way. That would be your bare minimum. You don't really need multiples of each of these things. It gives you an opportunity to put in even more keywords, which can be nice. But I think at a bare minimum, have maybe a commercial demo and a narration demo or an e-learning demo. That'll really get you a lot of what's being cast.
I always say less is more. You don't need a ton, but Catherine brings up a perfect point, and that is you want to cover all your bases with your voice styles and your purposes of recording. Thankfully, I can cross off a few purposes of recording. I won't do adult content, for example. There's TTS in there. I won't do certain things. So that narrows the field a little bit, but yeah, you want to cover all the bases. So start typing, get going.
Start typing. Yeah. Cause there's a lot of different genres, right?
Yeah.
But realistically, how many of them can you actually
do?
And I mean, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier with being really strategic in what you're auditioning for to get those, to get the likes, right? The ratio of likes that you need.
Yep.
So you mentioned earlier the solution to the problem of the basement is, you know, the lower percentile rankings is not to throw more money at it. But there are a lot of membership tiers on Voice123. Like they cover the spectrum from free to, you know, multiple thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Where do we start? Is it the $395? You know, some people are sing the praises of the $888. Where is the reasonable place to start?
We have a video that is free on the website all about memberships and kind of what we recommend. There's a PDF for kind of where we recommend you start as well. So the most up-to-date information will always be there. But if you think about casting on this site as a big funnel, all the jobs go in the top of the funnel, the top memberships and the top percentiles get them first, top memberships, lower percentiles, you know, get them next. And it all trickles down.
Sure.
But it's going to depend on what language do you speak? What is your demographic? What age are you? Because that's really going to depend on how many auditions you're going to get. And if you speak a language that's not super common on the platform, you can be at a really, really low tier because those jobs are going to filter all the way down that filter into the bottom. And if you do an amazing child voice, for example, like there's not that many actual children on the platform. So those jobs will go all the way down to the end of the funnel.
I always like to say to niche voices, it's good news for you. If you have an accent that isn't as bookable as middle of the road, middle-aged white person like me, if you have something super specific, quite senior or super quirky or an accent, the good news is you don't have to spend as much money. You can be at the regular $395 or even the bronze level. I think it's one step lower. As long as all your stuff is filled out, you will be found for what you do.
Is there data somewhere where somebody could go who maybe speaks a different language or something like that, and they could see like, oh, there's approximately this many jobs or approximately this number of talent that are in that demographic, or to help them make some of those decisions?
I think that's in the video. If you go to the membership section of Voice 123 and you put in your specifics, like this is the language I speak, this is my age range, this is my gender, you get these numbers of how many people you're competing with on search, an estimate of how many auditions they expect you to get in a year. I think there's one other field. But you get some relative numbers of who you're competing with or who else is on the platform that's in that same demographic.
Well, and then you would also use the filters if you can with a non-paid membership. I'm pretty sure you can. Put the filters in. Look up all the people that speak your language and are your demographics, and you will see them. You will see who they are and who your competition would be.
Man, yeah, that you is can such, use search just like you're a client.
That is such good insight, because my guess is there's at least a percentage of really niche voices or niche voice actors who are probably spending too much money on the platform because they don't know that this is how it works, or this is how you can filter and find out. And, you know, you could downgrade your membership and still get access to the same kind of opportunity or whatever. So that's, man, that's really good, really insightful information. Now, what about membership tiers? I know it's platinum, right? Is the top. Mm-hmm. It's limited.
Very.
There's only a certain number that they allow. Mm-hmm. Are there any kind of limits on any of the other tiers, do you know, or is it just kind of open season?
Whoever will pay gets them.
We'll get in.
The platinum is 84 talent, and I've asked them, you know, why 84? Why not 100 or why not 50? And they said,
it's a very random, specific number.
They say that it's their sweet spot, and they want to give enough value to the people who pay for the platinum membership as well. And there's very little wiggle room on there. They're trying to make sure that it's as diverse as possible. So they continue to do that if people drop off. And again, if you're a middle-aged white person, there's a chance, very slim chance, that you'll get to play the game at this phase. And we are solidly in there. Like, I'm a platinum talent. It's worth it to me. I'm staying on there. People rarely move, but they do move. And there's an acceptance situation where you have to submit to be accepted to be on the waiting list. So just putting that out there.
So just know that, you know, if we've already established that one of the things on 123 is you're competing with the best of the best. Mm-hmm. So now we're talking about at platinum, you're competing with the 1% of the 1%. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of...
Kind of. Yeah. We don't all have time to audition all the time. So you can guarantee that a lot of the platinum are actually working and they're not going to audition for everything. So that's really good news for the premium talent. And also know that the best of the best are also changing their names. So you don't know who they are, because this is mostly a non-union platform and they don't want to be known as to who they are. So you have to be ready to compete with the best of the best. However, we are busy and we're not auditioning for every single thing. So it's really those platinum, those premium people that pay more that are probably more active.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that are in the platinum tier that stay in the platinum tier just because they know that they get found first on search. So they get a lot of messages and direct bookings. Mm-hmm. But a lot of auditions are just going to pass them by and then again, trickle down that funnel.
But
do you think that's the advantage to the platinum tier, is the preference in search more than anything?
Yes.
If you've got your profile filled out correctly.
I get direct messages all the time for jobs and direct bookings without having to audition. But it's just like anything else, Mark. What I said before is the other shoe dropping. You know, I don't know if they're going to change the platinum tomorrow and open it up to 200 or get rid of it entirely. So we just keep chipping away at what we have. Do what you can with what you have.
Always have more than one income stream. Yes. Never be relying on any one thing.
Diversify and where your auditions are coming from. So we got to go to the elephant in the room, which is the AI side of all of this.
Boo.
Yeah.
Friggin' hate talking about it, but people want
to
know.
We don't have to, Mark.
So Voice 123 has, it feels anyway like they've been very forward looking in this AI thing and where that's going to go or what that is potentially going to look like. So as you know, two people who are the V123 pros who are very deeply ingrained in all of what is happening there, talk to us a little bit about what some of these AI developments look like. Mm-hmm. What do we need to be watching out for?
Well, Rolf is currently pushing this plan to have AI voices made if you want it, so that you can do auditions in the night or when you're traveling and use that AI technology to help you and to support you actually in your career.
That's so smart.
Yeah, it's so smart. I'm still nervous about
it's a little scary, but at the same time, it's definitely, I mean, it is smart thinking until we figure out why it wasn't, but
true. But I have a ton of faith in Rolf because he wants to do it on the up and up. He doesn't want it to be a concern. He wants it to be super legit, and where they mark the AI, where you can track where your AI samples and voice has gone. So I trust him implicitly. I'm just not ready to make the leap, but it's underway.
It feels like the downside to that could be somebody posting an audition script that is the job. Right. And then your AI records it in the night while you're sleeping or whatever.
Yeah, but like every commercial feels like that.
That's true.
I mean, and again, I'm not on the site, so I don't know. But lots of times you see, you know, we've got a 30-second commercial and they post, you know, 15 seconds of the script or whatever. Right. So, and maybe that's changed, but very seldom are, in the past anyway, it felt like people were posting full scripts or expecting you to audition for the full script.
Right.
My concern would be somebody posting the full script, your AI recording the full script, and then having that audition sample that they could potentially use then, right? This is all stuff that we've got to figure out, right? We are in the Wild West.
We are.
And trying to determine how all of this is going to work right now. What about the text-to-speech side of things and those jobs? What are you seeing there? Any developments there? Protections there?
Oh,
what's going on that front?
Well, as far as I can tell, and Catherine, please correct me if I'm wrong, there is no protections. I don't see TTS jobs because I have, well, Catherine can explain it better, but I reject anything that says TTS, and I can do that literally by typing in, I do not want to see anything that says TTS. So now I see nothing.
Okay.
But Catherine, can you be more articulate
about? Yeah. So when you get auditions that you don't ever feel like you're going to be right for, like I just don't ever want to audition for audiobooks, for example, you can reject a job and one of the other options in that list of why are you rejecting it. You can put in a keyword for like, I don't ever want this. I wouldn't recommend you go willy-nilly with that because sometimes they might say, here's a book reference for our video and like this is a sample of it or something.
Or a book trailer job.
But for TTS, right, yeah, like I would do a book trailer, but not an audiobook. So don't use the word book, but audiobook is one word you could use.
Okay.
When Voice123 got flooded with a ton of TTS and AI projects, Karin and Nava did a great job of collecting all of this data of like how many people were getting and what their experience was, and then sent that over to Rolf. And so now Voice123 has an actual process that a company has to basically get approved to put a job on the platform by following certain
protocol,
certain guidelines. Yeah. Certain protocol. Yep. So if you do see a project now that comes up on the platform, it's because that company is vetted. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That right there is a really great example of the platform sitting down, listening to the talent side of things, finding a balance between what the talent needs, what the client is looking for. That's a great example of something like that. So it makes me happy to hear that. So what other big changes have happened or are in the works or are rumored to be happening that I don't know about because I'm not on it, so I can't ask the question? Like, tell us what we don't know.
Well, not much. So they made this
Thank you. Tell my wife, please.
They made this big change with the keywording and the samples and put a big push onto that. And now they're just letting it sort of cook. Nothing else is happening. There have been some staff turnover. So it's been quiet. So the last thing I've heard is did receive the email from Rolf about AI being a possibility. And actually, Voice 123 is much better about sharing information than ever before. So ever since we came out with our course, they are much better at putting help articles and blog posts into their site. So they give you an idea of what's going on. If you're, I can't remember, Catherine, if you're a member or not, you can go into the booth and you can look at projects that are coming down the line, coming down the pipe.
I think so. Yeah. They have basically a product roadmap that they show.
So, and having just talked to Rolf at VO Atlanta and asking me if I'd be interested in having my voice recorded so that we could do, you know, have that AI availability, because other platforms don't have that, you know, whatever other platforms don't have would be a benefit to them. So that's all we really know. You know, they're not a huge team. And unlike voices.com, they don't have millions and millions injected into them. So that's all we got right now. But I do recommend going to the booth. You can find it on our website, v123pros.com has a resources section. But also, if you look through their help section on Voice 123, they've done a marvelous job of creating more content, which is a long time coming. So I recommend reading everything you can over there.
So I want to clarify for people, because I think it's an important distinction. You guys are the V123 pros, but you are independent
100%
of Voice 123. You are not
100%
affiliated.
They didn't know
we
were doing
on
this
the
when
inside
we started.
Or whatever. But I think it's important for people to know so that they realize that, you know, this is not information that's being, you know, selectively chosen or fed from Voice 123 or whatever. You guys are completely independent of the site and creating resources to help voice actors to succeed on the site. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about the course. I know you keep it updated. You've pretty much got no choice when you've got a platform that's changing consistently. So
constantly changing.
Give us the
keeping
rundown.
Keeping us on our toes. I mean, we sometimes find out about new features from users of our course, which I think is funny. Like you would think that maybe they would want to tell us about things coming up so that we can keep everybody abreast. But no, sometimes they don't. Yeah. And we just did major, major updates in January of 2024 because we wanted to roll out updates from all of the V4 changes. So there's a ton of new stuff about search and playlists and samples. We added some things about keywords since there's now a differentiation between what you should put in your voice styles versus search keywords versus the titles. Trying to think of some other changes. Cool. Oh, we also released a brand new module. Woo! We did a webinar about what the client sees. So if you were a client on the client side of the platform, what does it look like when you have people audition for you? What is the feature look like? Mm-hmm. All of those sorts of things. We go through a project.
Does it have a giant button with big flashing red arrows that point that say, hit this button?
No. No, it doesn't.
We'll work on that.
Yeah. So
we'll submit a feature request.
So yeah, when you pay for our course, you do get lifetime updates. And that's pretty important because we don't want stuff to be stale. I listened through our webinar that we did for you last time, Mark, and I can say that everything on there is still solid, still rings true. So I'm relieved to know that because we do not like to have things that are not up to date. So that's been a wonderful opportunity for people to learn. However, we do think that people need help. Some people purchase the course and they don't do it. You don't know anything about that, do you, Mark?
I'm amazed at how many people do stuff like that.
So we have other features. We have not talked about our keywording lab. So we talked about how difficult it is to keyword your own stuff. We have random keywording labs when we have people that are really interested in getting together in a group of six. And then Catherine and I are added. And for a couple of hours, we will brainstorm keywords for
That's
you.
Awesome.
We have a ton of free resources. But Catherine's come out with this really, really smart thing, as she does, called the Accountability Buddy Program. So if you purchase the course with a partner, it's a discounted thing because we want people to do it. We just
actually
want
do
you
it.
To do it. And we're not charging a lot. It's, you know, it will save you some heartache and headache and money if you will actually do this. And she's created also something wonderful on the same page under the accountability program, an email campaign that's simply tips and encouragement. So it says, did you do this? This is how you do it. Go on now, go do it. So
little reminders that you know, even if you just do a little bit every week or every other week, like overall, you're still going to be in such a better place than if you feel really overwhelmed because there's 15 modules in the course and you just feel like, I don't have time for this. I'm going to do it later. And then later never happens, right? I, for the longest time, had a folder of recorded webinars on my computer that, you know, I signed up for because they were great content and I didn't have time and I figured I would do it later. And it wasn't until my accountability group sat down and went through all of my recorded webinars and recorded webinars that they had over the course of a couple months and doing it together made sure it happened, right? Mm-hmm. We put it on our calendar so that it actually happened. We all took notes and then we kept each other accountable to, you know, go into your LinkedIn and do those things that Tracy says. Okay, taking Mark's course and breaking that down and, you know, did you actually do the thing from last week? And so we wanted to try and recreate that. So for $150 per person, so it's like sort of buy one, get one half off, buddy up with someone or four people, whatever you want to do and actually work through the course so that you can be found. You can be found on search and get bookable jobs. Yeah. $150 is a very low paying job on the platform. On average, it's $300. So
my whole thing with, and this is what I tell people all the time that are talking about using the set. I'm like, look, you're going to spend $395. Generally speaking, you're going to spend $395 at least to sign up for Voice 123. Some people pay more, some people pay less, but I think $395 is probably the most common entry point. I'm like, if you're going to drop $400 on it, then for the little bit extra to make sure that you're actually using it properly, because the last thing you want to do is drop $400, spend a month auditioning all wrong, end up in the lowest percentiles, and then you spend the next 11 months trying to dig your way out. Pay for speed. It's a concept Tony Robbins talks about. You pay for speed, right? Rather than going in there and doing everything wrong, find somebody else who's already done it, who can teach you how to do it, rather than trying to figure it out on yourself for 6 months or 8 months. Sit down, watch this course, couple hours, boom, you paid for speed. Love now it. You know exactly what to do, exactly how to use the site. It makes so much more sense. Yeah. So we will absolutely include a link to that in the show notes. It's just v123pros.com, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I know you've got some free resources that people can go and sign up for. Yeah. I actually downloaded a couple of them. You probably see me on your list now because I downloaded a couple prior to the interview just to see what was going on and any changes while I was doing some research. But so many great, valuable resources to help us to figure out this platform. But I'm certainly grateful for everything that you guys are doing. And I totally respect the fact that you stay on top of it. You don't you didn't just create a course and put it out there and let it sit. You know, constantly keeping it updated to reflect everything that's going on the site. So that makes it an even more valuable resource for anybody who's using the platform. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
We are really passionate about helping other people make money.
We are.
Like it is tricky. It is difficult. Mm-hmm. And it makes me happy to know that other people are out there making more money as a result.
When everybody's using the site properly, it makes the site better on the whole as well, right? It makes a better experience for the buyer, it makes a better experience for Voice 123. It makes a better experience for those of us that are submitting as well. Yes. So I think that's really important.
Yes. Yeah. And integrity is what, you know, we like to do things with integrity. And that's where I want to thank you, Mark, for your incredible integrity with all that you share and how you support our community. Thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. All right. Voice 123, or sorry, v123pros.com is the website. And look at it, I'm getting it wrong. v123pros.com is the website. Again, we'll put it in the show notes. Go check it out. Download some of the free resources. And if you're looking to really level up quickly on the platform, then definitely a course we're checking out.
Thank
Catherine,
you.
Natasha, thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, or if you know me at all, you know that I don't promote things that I don't think are valuable. I will never recommend or suggest a coach, a demo producer, a course, or anything that I don't think is completely reputable and adds massive value to your business. And I genuinely believe that the V123 Pros course adds massive value to your business. If you are using Voice 123, And if you're not sure if you're using it properly or if you want to be able to use it better, I highly recommend that you check out the V123 Pros course, and I will put a link in the show notes that you can click so you can do just that. Did you enjoy the episode? Did you learn something from this episode? Let me know. Share it in your Instagram stories. Please make sure to tag me at Mark Scott and let me know that you're listening. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one.
The Everyday VOpreneur Podcast. Available everywhere fine podcasts are given away for free. Mostly. We think.
You have a great website, right? Well, make sure you host it at some place that doesn't suck. Hey, it's Brad Newman, fellow VO pro for 28 years and owner of upperlevelhosting.com. People ask why us, and that's simple. We make it easy, respect your time, save you money, and just make all the magic happen. You don't need to know all the tech stuff when it comes to hosting your website. We got you. Ask around. Tens of thousands of client interactions later and 6 years of amazing customer service and not a single negative complaint ever. UpperLevelHosting.com.
And scene.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for hanging in. Thanks for hanging out. Want more VOpreneur goodness? Jump online at VOpreneur.com.